Good morning, everybody. The Argentine ant has been shown as to be a major problem in natural systems as well as being a major urban pest around the world. In the US, this region is concentrated on the west coast in California, as most of you know, through the Gulf Coast and up into the southeast, where the northern limit or northern advance is sort of petered out in the North Carolinian Piedmont region. This graph here of North Carolina, the red counties there are the counties that I know. There are Argentine ant infestations that survive year-round outside of human structures. Now, Argentine ants prefer a Mediterranean climate, most likely to occur when midwinter temperatures are 7 to 14 degrees Celsius, and they typically forage when temperatures reach 10 degrees Celsius or more. If we look at their native range in northern Argentina, mean midwinter temperatures there are around 10.5 degrees Celsius. This falls within that midwinter temperature envelope I just mentioned of 7 to 14 degrees Celsius, where we expect to find them to survive. It also allows them plenty of opportunity for foraging during those cool winter months. In contrast, in North Carolina, the January mean temperature is 4.1 degrees Celsius, well below that mean temperature envelope I just mentioned. And when you factor in that the maximum, or the mean maximum temperature for January in North Carolina is just 9 degrees Celsius, there's also a very restricted opportunity for foraging for those Argentine ants in the North Carolinian Piedmont. So we believe there are two constraints on survival of the Argentine ant in North Carolina. One is suboptimal mean winter temperatures and limited opportunity for foraging during those winter months. And we're hoping that a little later on we can actually start looking at these to apply some sort of control strategies. Now, if you've been to North Carolina and most of the southeast, pine straw is the mulch of choice there in ornamental plantings. And certainly it's a favoured substrate for Argentine ant nests during the summertime. We hypothesise that pine straw mulch would provide an insulation layer, a blanket if you will, that would allow those Argentine ant colonies to survive those cold North Carolinian winters. We constructed Argentine ant colonies, and we also constructed colonies of Tapanoma sessile, the odorous house ant. We used those as a control, as they're a known cold temperature survivor. We subjected them to two mulch regimes, a shallow of 50 millimetres and a deep of 100 millimetres, totally arbitrary by the way, and we left them in the field for either 1 week or 3 weeks, and then we surveyed worker survival after those times. Now, if we concentrate on the first week, let's see if I can do this without this one here. So we can see that Argentine ant worker survival is not significantly different under either mulch regime, under the shallow or the deep mulch regime. And likewise, after 3 weeks, there is no significant difference in worker survival under either mulch regime. There is, however, a significant difference in survival after 1 week compared to 3 weeks in the field. And indeed, those nests that we put out and left, well, we left out for 3 weeks, almost all of them were basically extirpated. If we look at the temperatures under those two mulch regimes, and here we have the black line represents the shallow mulch depth, and the red line represents the deep mulch depth. We can see, as you'd expect, the shallow mulch, the temperature fluctuated much more than the deep mulch. However, both of those temperatures were still below, or well below, that 7 to 14 degree midwinter temperature envelope I mentioned at the beginning of the talk. So they're not surviving under the mulch. Whereabouts are they going? Well, we know elsewhere they go into the soil, fairly obvious. We know that they'll retreat into nests in the soil for very hot and arid conditions, and also for very cold conditions. So we thought we'd look at their survivorship in the North Carolina, down into the soil. Again, we constructed nests, and we also made up, these nests were made of PVC pipe cut into 50 millimeter rings. They had wire between the nests where Argentine ant workers and queens could move freely up and down the column, so we could get an estimate of where they prefer to be in that soil column. We then put them out, sunk them into the ground, and we put temperature recorders beside the nests. And we did this in January and in February. So if we look at January 1st, here they're pretty much the same. The black line represents the temperature of this the surface, so it's just under the mulch on top of the soil. You can see that fluctuates quite markedly compared to the temperatures recorded down into that surface, down into the soil depth. Also, the temperature really flattened out once you got down, even just a very short distance under the soil surface. And possibly more importantly, the temperatures had raised up into that 7 to 14 degree midwinter temperature envelope, hypothesized for winter survival. Interestingly, Argentine ants, both the workers and the queens, were found predominantly in the top of the columns. We interpret this as why go deep when the temperature differential between 50 millimetres and 200 millimetres is negligible. So, we know they can survive in the soil at the temperatures that you find in North Carolina. Can they survive for extended periods without food? Do they go into a torpor, or do they have the fat reserves? Not very likely. Or do they have to actually forage during those cold winter months, and thereby providing us an opportunity for some sort of control strategy? So once again, we constructed Argentine ant nests. We subjected them to two temperature regimes, 4 degrees, to mimic the January temperatures in North Carolina, or in the rural part of North Carolina at least. 26 degrees as a control. Offered them three food regimes, and then we tallied the worker survival on a weekly basis. So if we concentrate on the where's this thing got to? The controls first at 26 degrees Celsius, we see that those Argentine ant nests offered either sucrose or sucrose and tuna had a good survivorship. For those nests at 4 degrees Celsius, or kept at a constant 4 degrees Celsius, regardless of your food regime, they all declined precipitously, and indeed all queens and all workers and all nests were dead by week 3. So we know they need to forage, actively forage, even in the cold winter months. So in the infestations in North Carolina, which are mainly concentrated in industrial parks, exactly where are they foraging? Well, we've known from previous observations that the nests tend to aggregate around loblolly pines during those winter months, January, February. And when you look at the graphs here of the three main ornamental tree species you find in industrial parks in North Carolina, well, the obvious thing that sticks out is the loblolly pine is green, still producing photosynthates. We've also noted that you can find Argentine ants apparently actively foraging on those loblolly pines, even though the ambient temperature is well below that 10 degrees Celsius, that's supposed to be the lower limit of their foraging range. We took some temperatures of the bark of loblolly pines in Industrial Park in North Carolina. We noted that that day, the dotted line there is the ambient temperature for the day. It was just under 4 degrees Celsius. You'll note there that the average temperatures on either the crevices or even on the outer bark was well up into the 20-25 degrees Celsius range. That's well into the foraging envelope for Argentine ants. And indeed, that's well into the optimal foraging envelope of 15 to 30 degrees that Markin demonstrated back in the 70s. Now, in North Carolina at least, we know that there are a number of aphis species that overwinter as adults on loblolly pine, and they do produce honeydew during these winter months. We also know that Argentine ants are avid honeydew consumers, and we believe this is what the Argentine ants are actually feeding on or foraging to during the winter months in North Carolina. And some preliminary data from last year indicated that the Argentine ants workers coming down the loblolly pine were heavier than those going up. Now, this is something we really want to get into this winter. We feel that there's also a control strategy here by restricting their foraging up and down those loblolly pines, and there's something else we want to look at this this winter. So in conclusion, shallow nests in the soil provide a temperature refuge, pine trees provide a foraging refuge with elevated bark temperatures and a possible food source in honeydew. We believe it's stalled in North Carolina because one or both of these conditions are not met north of the North Carolinian Piedmont. And with that, I'll leave that there and thank you for your time. Take any questions.
We have time for a question or two.
Yeah, could they not survive on root ages?
They may very well do. We haven't dug around, mainly because I don't want pine trees toppling down on top of me. But something we do need to look at this year. It's kind of obvious in North Carolina that you go to the pine trees inside the infestations and they're running up and down the trunk. So we're assuming that it may be more in the canopy than in the ground. But we need to check that. Oh, excellent. Thanks for that. Yes, sir.
On your study with the temperature of 4 degrees, did you take the ants directly from the 26 degrees and then place them in the 4 degrees, or did you allow for a thermal acclimation period over a period of time so that the ants could adjust their biochemistry internally to adjust to that lower temperature?
Right, yeah, that's a very good question. So I asked if we actually acclimated those ants going to 4 degree temperature. And no, we didn't, in actual fact.
That'll be an interesting point because
I'm
sure that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I think probably something I should go back and redo, but I think that they're still going to have to forage actively during that time. Yeah, good point. Yes, sir.
Did you notice some moving more into structures during those 40 months? A higher incidence of infestation within homes?
I've talked to our extension officers and they don't seem to think so, but just how accurate that information is, we don't know. If we get a control strategy where we can deny them the honeydew and the pine trees, we hope they're going to move somewhere else or the colonies are actually going to starve to death, but they may just pick up and move into houses and actually exacerbate the problem. Something we need to check this year too.
Griffith,
thank you.